Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is WBUR. I'm Bob Oakes. Here's part of a speech by the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. you've likely never heard before.
Whenever I return to the New England states, I never feel like a stranger, because I spent some 3 or 4 years in this area attending Boston University and Harvard University. So I feel that I'm coming home when I come back this way.
Dr. King speaking to a congregation at Temple Emmanuel in Worcester back in 1961. For decades, tape recordings of this speech went unnoticed in a crowded box belonging to Rabbi Joseph Klein, who invited Dr. King to speak at the temple. That is, until 2013, when Rabbi Klein's granddaughter, Laura Klein Weiner, went looking for what she thought would be recordings of his appearance.
I guess I had heard that he came to the temple, but I didn't know that the tapes existed. So I was frustrated to know that there was a piece of history that we were sort of sitting on.
Ahead of Black History Month this month, Laura Klein Weiner put the recordings online. That's when we heard them. So we invited Harvard University professor of African American Studies, Tommy Shelby, to our studios to review Dr. King's recordings.
He's talking about the state of race relations, how far we've come, how far we have to go, where we need to go to get there. And
so one of the things that struck us and several people are some of the similarities between this speech and Dr. King's famous I Have a Dream speech, which Dr. King made 2 years later. He basically ends both speeches the same way. Here he is in Worcester.
Yes, all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, and in joining hands, they will be able to sing with new meaning. In the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
I have to ask, after hearing that, do you think that the Worcester speech was, in a way, a precursor to the famous March on Washington speech a couple of years later?
In some ways, yes. He's discussing similar themes like dignity and hope and resistance to gradualism, integration, and so on. The Worcester speech at Temple Emmanuel, however, is probably one of the earliest recordings, I think, of this sort of set piece from his rhetorical repertoire. That was here, as you say, coming some 2 years before the I Have a Dream speech.
Dr. King starts the Worcester speech on an optimistic tone, saying that African Americans are making strides, earning more than in past decades. They're seeing the walls of segregation slowly starting to crumble. And then in Worcester, Dr. King said this.
If I stop at this point, I will leave you the victims of a dangerous optimism. If I stop at this point, I will leave you the victims of an illusion wrapped in superficiality. So in order to tell the truth, it is necessary to move on.
Help us understand what you think is going on in Dr. King's mind at this point and where he's directing this very real urgency.
Well, the early part of this speech is structured around the need to avoid both an extreme optimism and an extreme pessimism. So extreme optimism leads to a kind of complacency or a sense that freedom and equality are really just around the corner, maybe even inevitable. So we don't really have to do much but sort of wait, which he thinks amounts to a kind of capitulation to injustice. Whereas extreme pessimism wrong denies that there's progress in race relations. And not only is this false, he thinks, but also often leads to the same kind of do-nothing attitude and even a kind of hopelessness. And King announces that his own position is really a kind of realism and truth-telling. Right, he's sort of insisting that we have a long way to go yet, but we won't get there, right, without determination and sacrifice and really a sense of urgency.
Rabbi Joseph Klein led Temple Emmanuel at the time he introduced Dr. King there in Worcester in 1961. At one point before Dr. King took questions that day, the rabbi compared Dr. King to the prophet Moses. Here he is.
I think that the situation with the Negro people in this country is analogous to what happened to the Israelites in Egypt. They too have had to wait for a leader. And I think all of us will agree that they have found this leader in Dr. Martin Luther King.
What do you think Dr. King himself thought of Rabbi Klein's comparison? How do you think he viewed himself back then?
Well, King wasn't given an opportunity to respond to Rabbi Klein's comparison, so I have to really draw on things he says elsewhere to answer your question. You know, you often see an emphasis on this comparison between the Israelite struggle for freedom and the black freedom struggle. And many blacks are, then as now, are eager to see a heroic, a wise, powerful leader emerge, a black Moses, if you will. However, King would often caution against what he called the drum major instinct, right? This is a desire to lead the parade, as he would say, a desire to feel superior, maybe to rule over others and to be praised and maybe even rewarded for that leadership.
After the speech, Dr. King took some questions from the audience. He was unrehearsed, unfiltered, at times lighthearted and funny, and we want to play just a small part of that right now.
Do you believe that the fear of miscegenation or economic fears are the major stumbling blocks to the acceptance of integration by white Southerners?
I would say these are the two basic fears. I think on the one hand, the white South is seeking to defend and preserve a preferred economic position. Also, the fear of intermarriage is one of the big fears in the South today. My argument is always this, that properly speaking, individuals marry and not races, so that this question should not even come up in the struggle for civil rights. We must make it clear that the basic aim of the Negro is to be the white man's brother and not his brother-in-law.
What struck you most about this Q&A?
You see him discussing black nationalism, and as you just heard, in racial marriage, economic inequality, African independence movements, and many other matters. And you get a feel for, which is often reported by his friends, that he had a great sense of humor, was really good with jokes and quick to make you laugh. And you don't always get a feel for that in his speeches, where he's much more austere and restrained in his public speeches.
Big picture, are these recordings important historically in terms of giving us a new insight into Dr. King?
Well, I think you certainly, that the Q&A part of it allows you to see him stretch out on questions that you might not think he's thought that much about, in particular about anti-colonial movement and how to think about the role of Africa in the world and the emerging black leaders in Africa and other former colonial states.
Professor Shelby, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Harvard Professor of African American Studies Tommy Shelby, author of To Shape a New World, Essays on the Political Philosophy of Martin Luther King Jr. He's speaking about found audio, tape recordings of a 1961 speech by Dr. King in Worcester. Find a link to the Worcester speech at WBUR.org.